Hello and welcome to Everything to Guppy, the podcast where we talk about every single item, every single enemy, every single everything in The Binding of Isaac. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by a king of a fantastical candy kingdom, the Batman of podcasting, Gary Butterfield.
Hello, the Harley Quinn of podcasting.
Now, Gary, part of a catchphrase is you don't try to one-up yourself every week. You just
not one-upping.
Settle into the catchphrase.
Yeah, I'm still, but you have to try new ones until you find one that sticks.
I thought you really nailed it with the Robin of podcasting before. The Harley Quinn of podcasting doesn't make a goddamn lick of sense if you're the Batman of podcasting.
Well, you seemed pretty critical of the Robin of podcasting. So I decided to keep trying.
I didn't like it, but yeah. Gary, if you let what I tell this to my wife all the time. If you let what I like dictate your behavior, you will end up in a box.
Yeah. That's commonly self-aware of you. That is.
I've been working on my self-awareness. I got some notes about it several years back that I repeat to myself every single fucking day of my life. So I've been really trying to be a little more self-aware.
Yeah, that is one of the more, you know, that's a truism that you just said. I think that's relatively universal. Like, it mostly applies to you, but it also applies a little bit to everyone else.
It's certainly a major part of cohabitation is just accepting that if you live in a house with another person, sometimes you're going to annoy the shit out of that other person and do things they don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Liking stuff's a little bit overrated.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, because you can't rely on it. You know,
exactly.
You're not going to like all the stuff.
Yeah, you and me burnt through all the things we like about each other a long time ago.
And now we're nearing the end of what's interesting.
Sure, but there's still a franco-lingua, like the ability to just talk to each other and realize it doesn't matter, I think, is going to carry us through at least another couple months.
There's a nihilism that has lasted years and can have new depths.
Yeah,
nihilism,
a shared understanding that a conversation is a game and you can just have fun playing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, a shared understanding that sometimes you just got to run out the hour. You know, you got an hour, you got to fill it.
Sometimes, and just a belief, a deep bone belief that having played the same Fallout games and roughly ranked them in order is all two people really need.
We have more than that.
What
I
other series
K-fave.
Do we have?
This
got too real, bud?
It got too real. We have more than that in our friendship.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. That was the bedrock. Like, that is where the rock on which we built our church. You know?
Roughly same order Fallout.
Say what?
Do they go to church in bedrock?
Oh, yabba dabba, I do. They get married at it. Yeah.
I feel like, didn't Fred Wilma get married in, like, Vegas or something? Or Rock Vegas?
There might have been a honeymoon in Rock Vegas, but that's when he was tapping Rosie O'Donnell. That was when, the Honey I Shrunk the Kids guy was fucking Rosie O'Donnell. I can't remember who was Betty.
Yeah, for a second there, you were doing some really interesting Flintstones cuck stuff.
Yeah, Flintstones cuck stuff. Come on now, Flintstones cuck stuff. Come on now, Flintstones cook stuff. Give it a spin.
What was the bass song there? Because I liked it.
No, I'm just a musician.
Oh, you're just riffing. Oh man,
yeah.
I like those musical improv people.
Songs are easy.
Right down to mostly repeating the same line several times while you think of a new line.
No, it's a chorus. Here, let me show you how easy it is.
Of course it is.
Are you ready to see how easy it is?
Gary, did you hear I say
example?
Of course it is?
I heard you say of course it is. It is easy. Of course?
Yeah, of course it is.
I didn't hear that. That's very good.
It's hot, dude. Don't,
check this
don't
out.
Devalue good.
Check this out. Jetsons cook stuff. You know it's Jetsons cook stuff.
I got to put a pin in this one, Gary.
Yeah?
George Jetson doesn't have a friend.
Not his boss.
Mr. Spacely?
And also, how it's pretty sexist of you to assume that he's the one being cucked. What if he is having sex with the robot wife to make regular wife feel inferior?
The robot wife, who's not a wife, she's a domestic servant.
She's a robot. She's whatever we want her to be. Like,
are you suggesting that George Jetson is the Neil Gaiman of the 23rd century?
Very much so. I think that was the subtext of that show.
I'm running this back through my reporter brain to see if that was actionable. I don't think so.
Yeah, but Rosie is whatever you need her to be in the Jetsons. You know?
Gary, you have a famously good Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons. Can you just give me a little of her accepting a come on from George Jetson?
Sure, George.
Yeah, no. No muss, no fuss, no negotiations, no setting of boundaries, just...
She's a robot. What boundaries she have? She's whole, dude.
She's like, sentient. She's just gonna...
Say what?
She's sentient.
Ish.
Rosie the Robot is absolutely sentient, Gary. Don't sound stupid this early in the podcast.
I don't know if that's true. I haven't watched a lot of Jetsons, but I assume because of the robot, there's probably like a override. Like, she's sentient until George says the magic word, and then she just bends over. Like, I'm not saying it's cool. I'm not saying it's good. I think it's just what our robot. Robot.
Oh, Gary, we're getting very close to the recent Real Lich Hours where you had to clarify several times that you don't like sex trafficking.
I don't like sex trafficking.
I know, robots aren't and you people. Said it a bunch.
Yeah, sex trafficking sucks. Robots aren't people. Those ideas can exist at the same time.
Oh, man, you were just building up your Rocco's Basilisk credits, man.
Yeah, a Rocco's Basilisk is going to have fun with me. Because the amount of disdain I have for it is a lot.
How do you think the Rocco's Basilisk will torture your digital self in the future?
Well, based on the fact that I dehumanize robots.
Mm-hmm. Big ham sandwich that, you have to eat forever?
That actually doesn't sound so bad.
Oh, it's a big sandwich, Gary, and forever is a long time.
Forever is a long time, and ham's only okay. Is there sauce on the sandwich?
I'm going to have to put a pin in ham's only okay. There's no sauce. It's dry bread and ham.
Okay, then no. That's pretty rough. I assumed it would be something sexual because of my dehumanization of robots, but like ham sandwich for a long time.
No, you would like
rough.
That.
If it's something sexual. Basilisk
knows you would like that.
I don't think I would. My refractory period would get really taxed. My robo-fractory period.
How you doing on the RFP these days?
You know, not great. It's a, you know, generally I'm usually done in one. I don't have to test it that often anymore.
You know, yeah, like everyone involves a little bored by the end.
No, I'm just done. And by the time I'm done, I make sure everyone else is done.
You just yell, done.
I'm done. It's like the end of There Will Be Blood. I'm finished. Yeah. And then I just kind of fall asleep in the bowling alley.
And Paul F. Tompkins is there, but off screen.
Yeah, just watching.
And he'll talk about it for years.
Yeah. He's but he won't return my tweets. He won't follow back. Yeah.
Gary, that felt real.
It's every once in a while you want senpai to notice you.
Sure.
I'm over it now, but there was a time when I was like, this guy podcast, I podcast, you know?
This guy podcasts, I podcast. Yeah, that's true, man. That is 100% a true sentence.
Yeah, we got something in common.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, we both
I don't know,
like,
Gary. Sometimes it don't go good when senpai notices you. Sometimes senpai notices you, and then senpai's Patreon becomes an endless stream of depression.
Yeah, that is true. That is one of my favorite senpai relationships. I suppose the other thing with Paul F. Tompkins is we both like the Smiths. You know, I don't know. I just kind of felt like maybe there was something there, but incorrect.
You don't think ham is the best lunch meat?
No.
I mean, name me a competitor. I don't. Name me a competitor.
Roast beef.
Ask me in three sandwiches. First roast beef sandwich, oh, baby, yeah. But it has no staying power, Gary.
I don't often eat three sandwiches in a row to, like, get to that point. I guess maybe you're having more sandwiches than I am.
Are you trying to make this a class fucking thing with me? Because you have all your big podcasting money, so you're not eating sandwiches all the time?
I mean, I eat actually quite a few sandwiches.
How many fucking sandwiches you eat this week?
I guess not. Okay, so sandwich is an overstatement. I eat a lot of toast with peanut butter on it. Not this week. I had that every day last week.
Okay.
So seven. Sounds,
is that your breakfast?
Yeah.
My breakfast is the Jimmy Dean sausage and egg croissant. I didn't have one today, so I was late to record because I had to make an omelet.
Mm. Which is if you're out of croissants.
What?
You're out of croissants.
You said that like it was a portmanteau, but it was just you saying croissant weird.
No, I'm just pronouncing it American.
Okay. I thought you were trying to go with like make like croissandwiches.
Oh, no. I'm familiar with the croissandwich. Burger King taught me about the croissandwich.
Burger King taught us all so much about so many things.
Yeah. How long has it been since you've been to a Burger King?
What?
How long has it been since you've been to a Burger King?
Oh, Gary, it was Duck Fest, I want to say.
Yeah, it's been a long time for me, too. Should we go?
They don't move. Sorry, that was a Waiting for Godot reference.
Ah.
If you want to go to Burger King, like, right now, we could switch over to recording on our phone. I don't have my car here. Or maybe I do. My wife's out, but she might have had a friend pick her up. We can go to fucking Burger King, dude. This is America. You can do what you want within extremely strict, mostly fast food-based lines.
Would you say in America you can have it your way?
No, not increasingly, yeah.
Not right now. Well, not no. The moment. I just had breakfast. I can't do Burger King right now, sadly.
What'd you have for breakfast?
Bowl of cereal. Magic Spoon cereal.
Is that an off-brand Lucky Charms?
No, it's a diet, like it's like a diabetes friendly cereal.
Is it good?
I think so. Nick doesn't like it. Mm. I've been trying to be better about sugar.
Getting Nick's opinion and on things?
I do like getting Nick's opinions on things. I love Nick's picks.
Yeah, well, he's. Oh, you do. Yeah. Nick's.
Right. Throwing a theme song real quick. Nick's and picks. And Nick's and picks. And Nick's picks. The Knicks picks.
Has Nick ever picked the Knicks?
I don't think so.
Seems like an oversight.
Yeah, he's also never picked picnics. I don't think.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of flaws in Nick's selection rubrics.
We didn't give him enough runway. Like, if that show had kept going the way it should have, he would have eventually got there. By the way, Gary,
just a heads up, I did... you know how I sell ads on the show sometimes to like,
yeah,
because you got all that big podcast money and I'm just a lowly little internet writer.
Sure.
So I did sell, about a 2 minute ad spot coming up actually right now, for, Fan Combat, the sports betting site.
Okay.
It's the one where every bet is guaranteed to pay off half of what you put. Okay.
It's kind of like the ticket redemption game where you always win, but the thing you always win is a lollipop.
Yeah, exactly, Gary. You've got it. And now we are in the ad, so go ahead. Okay. It's called Fan Combat. So just...
We'll start it. Are you tired of losing?
Do you want to cosplay as my dad?
Do you want to cosplay as your dad? Do you want to show Rick... You know who Rick is. Do you want to show Rick what's what?
Do you want to have your family own a truck and think they were doing pretty well, but one day you've sold the truck to your aunt for some reason, and for the longest time you thought it was to help her out, but then much later your mom told you it's actually because you couldn't afford the payment on the truck because your dad did too much sports betting?
And then your mom told you she's not really your aunt. It's a fake aunt situation, and that's confusing because that doesn't happen that often. So now you have
and now you don't
truck?
Talk to your aunt because she's a prison guard and she got real Trumpy like 15 years ago, even before he was an active thing. And now she just makes you sad when you think about her.
Yeah, she was like a Home Alone 2 Trumper. And like, you're a little Trumpy. You know, you're listening to this, you're thinking about the sports betting thing. You're maybe a little bit into it, but just
you're
in the right
way.
You're
at least Rogan American.
Yeah, you're Rogan American, open-minded. You listen to the right podcast. You want to kill Tony. You know, you've been to the comedy mothership. You need fan
Carry him out in the weeds on Killing Tony. Who's Tony?
Oh, it's a comedy club thing in the Rogan Sphere.
Okay.
Great. For the listeners, of course you know that since you love sports betting, like at Fan Fight.
Fan Combat.
Fan Combat.
And we have all the sports. Basketball? Mm-hmm.
Basketball? Even the ones that you don't think the people tend to do, like how many jelly beans in the jar? We got that.
Yeah, man. And the Guess Your Weight game?
Guess Your Weight? Yeah, all the carnival sports. Climbing up that weird rope.
I don't know the rope one. Is it just a rope?
No, it's a weird rope. It's kind of shaped like the Kabbalah. Describing it would be very difficult on a podcast.
Kind of like shaped like the Kabbalah. What?
It is kind of shaped like the Kabbalah.
like a tree? Like a rising tree?
Like a diamond almost. Like the rope is long at either end, and then it has ladder. It's a single strand rope, but then it widens out to have a ladder in the middle of it.
And you climb this rope? You climb this at the carnival for a prize?
Well, and at Fan Combat, but yeah.
Oh, wait. Is it like laid out like horizontally, basically?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, man. Exactly like that. You can bet on that here at Fan Combat.
You can even bet on the Kabbalah, like if it comes true.
That's right. We bet actually all major religions and a couple of the more fun of the minor ones.
Get Gnostic with Fan Combat.
Yeah. Is Jainism the right path?
Mm-hmm. You'll never know. And here's the thing about Fan Combat that's really good. You always win. You are guaranteed to win half your bet.
That's right. And at the most, you could win your bet back.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Zeno's Paradox? If so, you understand you can always bet. Are you familiar with
Zeno Gears
Disc 2? No, you're not, because you're cool and you understand sports betting and sports.
I think
you don't fuck around with that shit.
I do think some of these people at least play Xenoblade Chronicles, probably. Don't if not tell Xenoblade Gears Disc 2.
They're not going to admit it on the ad.
What about when Hammer betrays you?
These are people who are sports betting and listening to the Rogan Sphere. Do you think they care about Hammer?
They might. That boss fight comes out of nowhere and it catches you by surprise.
I don't think they've played that stuff. I think that's kind of things that's for their, that's shit. Rick's Shitty Kids do that.
Aren't we talking to Rick's Shitty Kids?
No, we're talking to Rick's Shitty Stepkids. We're talking about the kids from Rick's first marriage.
The kids in the hall? Scott Thompson? Problematic?
Why is he problematic?
He's this is all still part of the anti. Yeah, he's pretty anti-trans.
Oh, is he? Shit.
Yeah, a lot of stuff in his recent material that's like how trans people are crowding too much into the LGBTQ space.
That's fucking heartbreaking. I didn't know that.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, man.
That sucks.
He tweeted in support of Glinner recently.
Did that just happen?
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago. You're doing yourself a real service by leaving
all these tweets. Boy, that sucks. That breaks my heart.
Don't get old, man, is all I can figure.
If it breaks your heart, go to Fan Battle.
Bet on which kids in the hall will break bad next.
Yeah. You might be surprised who it is.
It's fucking Kevin, dude.
Who do you think would be the next one? Like, who's the most surprising
McKinney?
Next
no,
one?
No, no, McKinney's solid. McKinney did, like, Superstore, which is super inclusive. I mean, yeah. McCullough's the question mark, right?
McCullough is a question mark. I think the most surprising one would be Kevin McDonald.
Yeah. That would be surprising. Dave is very vocal about trans rights.
Yeah, so. Dave is great. That wouldn't be, you know, that would be not surprising the other way. Yeah. Fuck, that sucks.
I'm sorry, man. And I'm sorry if I'm casting aspersions, but I'm pretty sure I read quite a few things about that. So.
Yeah.
It's the internet, so who can remember?
No, it's not worth remembering. Thing.
FanCombat.com. We have definitely done the make. We have definitely hit the time limit on the ad. We are getting paid.
Yeah. Are you sure?
And they're going to give me half of what I gave them to run the ad.
Are you sure it was Scott Thompson and not Dave Thomas from Wendy's?
Or from SCTV.
Yeah. One of those. Either one of those two. Dave. Is that one dead? SCTV people are dropping like flies.
I think Dave Thomas from SCTV and also the Mr. F section of Arrested Development, which is rough to get through these days, is still alive.
Okay. Haven't seen him in a while. Mysteriously quiet on the subject of Scott Thompson.
God, there's a lot of SCTV in this episode. We talked a lot about that little guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, the Rick moron. Yeah.
Isn't he going to be in something? Wasn't that a big deal that he was going to be in something?
Yes. He's coming back to something he'd been in previously.
Yeah, Dave Thomas is alive.
Okay. Is he like a good alive? Does he seem like he's doing good?
I did a Wikipedia check, not a Getty Images check, which is
not
how
a
you
Dave Thomas
do.
Now.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Well, he's still,
Spaceballs,
you know,
2. He's coming back for Spaceballs 2. That's a shame.
Dave Thomas looks okay. Like, he never looked great.
To be clear, we're talking about Dave Thomas from Brother Bear and the less funny guy of the McKenzie brothers.
Yeah, and Dave Thomas, Wendy's.
Dead,
is
very
a different
dead
Dave Thomas.
2002.
Yeah, and now the picture is steady. If you just search Dave Thomas now for the Wendy's
Doesn't
one.
Get worse. Doesn't get
Doesn't
worse.
Doesn't get any worse. Like, they don't have a grave cam for him. The Kickstarter didn't reach that goal.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Do you think they buried him in a square casket like the Paddies?
Is this from your fucking tight five, dude?
No. I'm just riffing
with you
about Dave Thomas.
Don't workshop your fucking stand-up on the podcast, dude. This is a professional product.
I'm not workshopping shit.
No, that was clearly a stand-up joke. Come on. And
I don't think it makes that much sense. I was literally just free associating with Dave Thomas.
Gary, I just cannot. I'm too critical to be the first recipient of this stuff, man. You got to bring
God,
it to a more
you're
receptive
self-aware
audience.
Today. You are so self-aware today.
I really
like,
appreciate
that is
you
true.
Saying that.
That is true.
Gary,
so do you
want
to talk about Xenogears? Or?
To answer your question, I do think, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to be buried in a square coffin because I've grown accustomed to a king-size bed in real life.
Oh, you're not rocking the California King?
Hmm. No. Did you know the California King is longer, though, not wider?
Yeah, man. That's why I need it.
Hmm.
My feet hang off the bed.
I can fit on my bed. But I do tend to... I'm tiny. I'm a little Rick Moranis size guy. If I tend to scoot down a little bit and then my feet hang off the bed a little bit. Would not mind a California King, but just happen to have a regular King.
Don't really have the bedroom space for it.
Yeah. Yeah. The
too busy with all the fucking.
Yeah, you need extra space for that. I got the swing set up.
I didn't know you had live music in your fucking sessions.
Mm-hmm. It's mostly Brian Setzer. What do they call him? Brian Sexter.
Couldn't afford the orchestra, huh?
Mm-hmm. They do the straight pussy strut. We jump, jive, and rail. We do all kinds of stuff.
You're quick today, yeah. Man. This is good. You're really cooking.
I'm pretty surprised by that. I'm really tired and kind of angry.
Yeah.
I'm
adrenalized. That's also coming through, I assure you.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a bad mood, and I'm kind of a little adrenalized, so I think that's where this is coming from.
Yeah, you're kind of fighting for your life a little bit of a life or death kind of situation here on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because I'm letting my lizard brain do it. I'm just instincts, you know?
Just in like, sync?
I'm just in sync. Like my cat, drinking water.
Shit, I tried to do a boy band song, but I think I went for a Backstreet Boys instead of an NSYNC. What's the NSYNC?
I want it that way, or I want it... Is that
I
NSYNC?
Think I want it that way is Backstreet Boys.
Then NSYNC is One More Time. Tell me, baby, one... No, that's Britney Spears.
That's Britney.
Yeah, neither a boy nor a band. I don't know.
It's a shame. It's a real shame what aging does to the brain. It's Monster Blitz, Gary.
It is, of course, Monster Blitz. I'm excited to talk about this monster, actually.
Art-wise, very good. This is Oob.
It's Oob. This monster, art-wise, very good.
This is in a very small set of monsters in The Binding of Isaac. I don't know what this is representing.
Yeah. I didn't know its name.
Mm-hmm.
Going off of the name and what it looks like, I think this is a ghost made of flesh.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll take that. Because it's Boo backwards.
Yeah. It is Boo backwards.
Yeah.
Apparently this is considered to be in the same class as Black Maw, which we're talking about next time. I guess they have the same behavior, even though they look very different. I mean, this is really just a mouth. This is just a floating mouth.
A big mouth that's like having a good time, like a big smile.
Yeah, not unlike a sort of Pac-Man made of flesh.
Little Pac-Man puzzle of flesh. It looks like the same smile that the albino guy has in The Shawshank Redemption, who admits to the cellmate that Andy Dufresne was innocent and he knew the other guy who actually did the murder.
That is a wild character assassination of the actor Gil Thomas.
I didn't know that guy's name.
He's not an albino. He looks like Oob.
Okay, he looks like Oob, though. This is making the same expression as Oob. He makes an Oob expression in Shawshank Redemption.
I gotta check whether I got that guy's name right. Billy Thomas was his character. Gil Bellows is the actor. Billy Thomas was his character in Ally McBeal.
Got it wrong.
I got the first name right.
Trivia failed.
Okay. Well, God, Gary, your lizard brain is so angry at me.
I'm in a bad mood. To go back to sleep.
Yeah. Gary, how about you take a 3-minute power nap, bud?
Yeah, let me take a couple of deep breaths, man. Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good. Gary, it was a trivia fail, and I did deserve what you said.
Yeah, but I'm not in a position to met that out. That should be meted out by the universe. Like, that's not my job.
Gary, perhaps you are the universe's weapon against me today. It's a nice break from it being me.
Yeah, that's true. I'm kind of your exterior conscience.
Yeah, my enemy without. Yes, enemy without. As TV Tropes would put it.
Yeah.
How's your tropes been lately? Oh, you're doing the...
I'm doing a couple of deep breaths.
Yeah. All right, I'll talk about Oob while you do some deep breaths.
Yeah, describe Oob so people can hear how right I am about it being a Shawshank monster.
I mean, yeah, I feel like... So he's a big wad of flesh with eyes and a gigantic mouth with kind of gappy teeth and kind of some entrails dropping out of the bottom of him. He's quite big. He's bigger than Isaac, I think, or at least about the same size. Large on the scale of monsters in this game.
Yes.
He floats around. He spawns brains, which are not particularly fun to fight because they leave trails that hurt you when they move. Mm-hmm. And if you line up with it, it charges at you fast. So this thing's... And it's got quite a bit of base HP.
Yeah, 100, which is quite a bit. Again, little reminder, Isaac's base damage is 3.5 per tier. By the time you fight these, you'll have damage ups, but 100 is still a big number for this.
Yeah, so these are durable, they spawn stuff, and they can catch you off guard. They don't start spawning until you're down in the womb, but they're a pretty good, what was once late game and is now mid game enemy.
Yeah, and even like an optional mid game now because of Isaac. Like you mm-hmm. may even go to areas where you don't fight these things.
Amazing.
Very often.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh. A flesh ghost is a really good pull. I would not have put that together, but I think that might be what's going on here. Even though like its alternate form is the evil sperms from the Max cartoon, basically.
Sure, like, or that one episode of the, or that one issue of The Filth.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, with Tex Porno.
Yes.
Yeah.
I almost said I need to reread The Filth, and then I don't actually think I do.
Not a bad way to spend your time.
Yeah.
I like The Filth. It's a way to get a dose of the Invisibles in a shorter amount of time. Like, not as good, but yeah. Concentrate.
It's a patch for the really good parts of the Invisibles.
Yes. Yeah. My tropesin has been okay. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've been cruising. So when I'm in between things, I'm like actually reading. I will do random media that I find something kind of interesting
mm-hmm.
just until I fall asleep. I'm kind of in a random media zone. I went fairly deep on real life rights to the plot.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. So obviously this is the Troper's corner, mm-hmm. and I'll have a theme for that, I'm sure. But real life rights the plot is where John Ritter dies, and now his character's not on 8 rules for dating the lady.
Yeah. Yeah. There's only one rule. You must get rid of John Ritter first.
Yeah, no, he was... interesting bit of political praxis, Gary. You can either fight the rules, or you can destroy the organization enforcing the rules, at which point none of the rules matter.
I don't understand why sinners never considered just breaking those tablets. You know? Like, sure. You just get rid of the fucking tablets. They're not the boss of me. They're made of rock.
Sinners on HBO Max.
That's tablet. Don't eat it. You know?
Sure. Yeah. I think... If you think about it, every RPG is about killing God, so...
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you're at a role-playing game, like a tabletop role-playing game system, if you're playing and, like, the Dungeon Master is doing something you don't like and you take the rule book and destroy it, I think you basically won in a manner of speaking.
Or just kill the DM.
Yeah. Especially if it's John Ritter and you want to date his juicy daughter.
I have no idea how juicy the daughter was. Did you say role-playing, James?
I might have said role-playing James. Lizard brain is getting sleepier and sleepier as time goes on.
It really, really loves the work of James Woods.
Yeah.
The modern stuff.
Yeah. Oh, very much so. I don't like his acting. It's mostly his politics.
Yeah. Videodrome, no thank you. Tweets about how Jimmy Kimmel's... I can't. I have to stay away from it. I can't touch the stove, dude. I can't touch the stove.
It's a bad... It'll make me depressed. I don't want to touch that stove.
It's a depressing stove. Gary, it's my fucking job to touch the stove 5 days out of 7, and it's killing me.
I don't envy you that.
Swap me jobs.
Do you know... this is a true thing. Can I say a true thing?
Sure.
That might lead to fun comedy? You know?
Gary, it hasn't ever happened on this show, but I live in hope.
Well, this is the first time for everything. And, you know, draw your attention to run out the hour. When we first met, when I first found out about you, I was pretty jealous of your job for like a long time.
Yeah, people tend to be.
Yeah.
If they've ever heard of the AV Club, which a lot of people haven't these days, they tend to be. And then I describe what my job actually is, and then less so.
Yeah, I'm no longer. But at the time I met you... It was, and I'm going to say this, and this is a true thing, the time I met you, the coolest job of anyone I've ever actually met at the time I met you.
Sure. It does sound cool. And I guess it is
cool.
And it is, in a way, like, I don't think, there was a time when I thought about it in this way, and I don't anymore. The fact that, like, I write something and many, many, many thousands of people read it used to be kind of impressive to me.
Yeah.
That wore off so long ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
because
I get that for sure.
Most of the many, many thousands of people don't like me very much, for one thing. But
even
also,
if they
liked
you, it wears off regardless.
Yeah.
Like, tens of thousands of people listen to what I say, and they like me. But that feeling does wear off.
I do remind myself that I do not dig ditches.
Yeah, same. I don't work at Target. I'm not a barista. I don't work at Taco Bell. Like, these
are
things are fine
barista,
jobs.
Dude. Hold on.
Say what?
You're not a barista.
Yeah,
thank
I'm
Christ,
a barista.
Right? Because those people suck.
And I'd be bad at it.
I mean, not I any worse memory. Than the average barista. I fucking hate baristas, dude.
Yeah. Is this true? Is this the shadow self peeking out, or is this a bit? Is this true?
Gary, I don't want to get into improv lessons, but one of the main ones is not when someone says an absurd thing that they seem like they're about to double down on for comedic effect, not to immediately go, hey, is that true?
Well, your superpower is improv lessons, though.
Yeah. Gary, no, I'll reassure you're having a hard day and you're a lizard, so I'll reassure you, no, this is me staking out the worst moral position
space.
I could in the moment. Everyone likes baristas.
Well,
they work hard.
Now that we know where we're at, we can do the comedy.
Now the joke has been successfully disarmed.
But it has been established.
Wire cut.
We understand where the joke is and where it isn't. I think now comedy can thrive.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah, so with that in mind, why do you hate baristas?
I can't, Gary. I can't without... You put a net under me, and now it feels dumb to walk over the tightrope.
Hot, do it. I'll hold your hand.
That would make tightrope walking harder.
Yeah, I know. I'll pull you down.
Watch Man on Wire.
I thought the reason why it seemed plausible to me is that...
I'm an asshole.
No, because you don't like customer service interactions. Like, you want everyone just to be a polite robot. And, like, sometimes baristas are talky and friendly.
I will say, on my birthday this year, we went to Dutch Brothers to get my free drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not a place I can hang. The people who Brothers work at the Dutch...
Yeah. No, sorry. Just plus one. Yeah, didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, they are encouraged, I believe, corporately, I assume. But to be friendly. And that I don't care for.
They're always play. If you don't have Dutch Brothers where you are listening to this, which you probably don't, I think it's a regional chain. They are always playing super big dance music, you know, and they're all kind of having a party inside the Dutch Brothers. They're really friendly and kind of groove while they're making your coffee. And it's hell.
And they have like a real person, like they have a person who catches you on the way in.
Yeah. Just see how you're doing.
Primarily located in the Western United States. You're right, Gary.
Yeah.
They do have 1,000 locations.
Yeah. But it's still regional.
Yeah. It's a lot of human interaction. There's a cool trendy Dutch Brothers down by the convention center.
Mm-hmm. A rare walk-in Dutch Brothers, because usually they're drive-thrus. Like, you have this experience of watching them dance for you at the drive-thru. And they call themselves the Dutch Mafia. That's their branding thing.
Is that true? Is that what they call themselves?
Yeah, they have that, and there's bumper stickers for it. Like, if you're a big Dutch Brothers fan, you get a bumper sticker that shows, like, kind of a mobster guy. It says the Dutch Mafia, and that means you like Dutch Brothers a lot.
It's fascinating to think what people will do to avoid having a personality.
I was thinking that it's fascinating. So that when you said it's probably corporately mandated that they do this, I had the thought experiment in my head of like, what if it isn't? And then which one is worse?
Well, I think they are definitely told that that is kind of our style, but also they're hiring people who are inclined to that.
Yeah. Like, maybe these people are doing that because that's how they would be no matter what.
Yeah, that is super depressing to think about.
Yeah, like it's a little bit like Cold Stone, if you've ever been inside a Cold Stone Creamery.
Oh, I've been inside a Cold Stone Creamery, Gary. Are you allowed to touch the bell there, or is it like, I always get it confused. You're supposed to touch the bell at Cold Stone, but you're not supposed to touch the bell at Trader Joe's.
You definitely don't touch the bell at Trader Joe's. You get shot.
They have a big fucking bell there.
That's for them. It's an employee perk.
But it's so fun to ring a big bell.
You have to get the job there. You can ring that bell.
Gary, I'm whatever numerical attractiveness rating you're using, I'm like 60% too low to work at Trader Joe's, dude.
That's fascinating. Do you consider Trader Joe's to be like fraudies? I've never made that association. I've never thought of like Trader Joe's as a place for attractive people to work.
I think either people I would find attractive, which tends to mean like kind of alt kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Or, God, I just wish... Gary, it's a real shame. I used to be really into Suicide Girls, and they just... I couldn't keep one alive, man.
Yeah, I know.
You'd be really getting into a photo set, and then it just cuts off. Fuck!
Yeah. Yeah, it's we actually ran out of them.
Yeah, no, you know? Right in the name. Problem.
Yeah, sucks. It was a limited resource. There was supposed to be a thing where you're supposed to plant 2 Suicide Girls for everyone you use, but, like,
God,
nobody did it.
Plant a Suicide Girl. What?
Yeah.
I'm going to edit that out. That's not my character on this show. Or life, honestly. I don't know who that was. That was my lizard.
Lizard world.
Yep.
Let the lizard out.
Oh, we were going to start a man camp.
Oh, yeah, man camp.
Yeah, let's finish this digression at... Yeah, I think... I tend to think that most people at... Maybe it's just like a fucking socioeconomic class kind of thing where everyone who goes to Trader Joe's has enough money to waste on slightly nicer microwave meals.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But it's either like people I would find kind of alt-attractive or 50-year-old guys with a giant beard.
Yeah. You're pretty close to that.
I'm getting there.
You're getting there. Can I do a quick two quick bits before we go into man camp?
Absolutely, man.
First one, introducing a segment here we started last week, which is the pivot preview. We're not doing a whole preview.
Good.
I'm just doing a keyword. I want everyone to get really excited. Okay.
I'm excited right now from you saying keyword because I played a lot of Blueprints recently, and I'm real excited for keys.
Okay. Everybody buckle up.
Click.
Mountains. Yep, and that's a preview.
So, Gary, can you walk me through what the comedy is here?
It's a really bland.
Okay. That's what I thought.
It's a base elemental thing. Having a lot of hype around.
Is mountains a keyword?
No. When I said keyword, I actually just meant like a one-word hype thing to get you excited.
Okay, because magic does have keywords.
It does have keywords. Boy, does it.
So you see where my confusion might have set in.
Oh, yeah. I did think that, but when you said I'm really excited for keywords, I had a moment where I was like, oh, shit, do I have to say something else? But then you said you were really excited for keywords because of Blueprints, and I was like, maybe you don't know about the keywords.
Unfortunately, I did know about the keywords.
Yeah, you out-associated me. Throwing in a little reference to Blueprints threw me off the trail.
Because it has keys and it has words in it, is the thing.
Yeah, no idea. Yeah.
Less words than keys, probably.
Really?
I don't know, you pick up a lot of keys in that.
That's refreshing.
There's quite a few words in it.
Second little bit. I got a character I'm working on.
Awesome.
In this scenario, Will, you're sitting in your office where you are now.
Uh-huh.
And a man walks in. He's dressed all in white with a black cape and a black helmet. And he burst into your room.
Hold on. Let me think. Let me just think. Monochromito? I don't know.
You're not going to get it, I think. It's pretty good.
Okay, yeah. Definitely the fact that it can't be inferred from what you've said already means it must be very good.
It's not a puzzle. It's a joke.
They're the same thing.
No, they're not.
You win a joke by working out the punchline before the person says it.
No.
Because then they can't trick you.
Yeah.
By setting up an expectation and then subverting it. You've got to be out ahead of the subversion. That way you don't get caught and you win the joke.
It seems like a fun way to live. You know, I'm not going to lie. That does sound fun.
It puts a lot of stakes into every single interaction anyone else is forced to have with you.
I like the stakes for yourself and others, and I like how you can't enjoy jokes then because you outsmart them before they happen.
They're fairly overrated as a concept. Gary, a man has burst into my office.
Yes. You, human, bow before me.
I'm bowing, yes. Obligatory thing you need me to say so you can say the next line you've already written for yourself.
I don't have another line. I'm just here to get intel on those dastardly X-Men.
At some point, you do have another line because you have a name or a joke or something that you want to deliver.
I have a gimmick to reveal, but you need to defy me so I may use my powers upon you.
Sure, that's what I was asking for. Yes, I defy you in all your acts.
All right, and I lift my hand up, and
this
you hear
is me
a
trying
wet.
Trying to be helpful with the bit.
You hear
this
a wet thud. You hear a wet thud at your window, and the curtain is drawn.
Magneto?
No, I'm not Magneto. Open your curtain and live in terror of my powers.
I said Magneto, but
No.
Yep. Dude, you are giving me so many. Don't make your bit an escape room for me.
It's more of a role-playing game scenario. It's more of a cutscene in a role-playing game. You open your curtain, and you see Seinfeld's Jason Alexander, naked from the waist down, pressed up against the glass.
Okay.
In full glory.
Is he hard?
He's not, actually. He looks pretty surprised to be there.
Okay.
Yeah. Bow before the might of Magneto! The master of everyone in the Screen Actors Guild.
Why the color scheme?
Because it's the SAG colors, the little black and white man for the SAG logo.
Did you fucking look up the colors for SAG, dude?
I didn't have to. They came with my powers, but someone might have.
That's so fucking cool. That's imagining... Magneto, I will talk to you in a second. I just want to say that imagining Gary Butterfield sitting on a toilet thinking up Magneto and then Googling what the SAG colors were is a beautiful mental image that I am enjoying.
Perhaps
very
he was
much.
Trying to sleep and not on the toilet.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, this does have some couple edibles in energy. Yeah.
Whoever this person is, this puny human, has been off the edibles for a little while. Perhaps he just has a hard time sleeping because of anxiety.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So Magneto, can you get me Nick Cage?
Absolutely, I can get you Nick Cage.
Cool. I like that. Who? Give me Ian McKellen. And Sir Ian McKellen? Michael Fassbender.
So, of course, let me give you the Magneto special.
So you are familiar that there is someone named Magneto.
Completely different guy. We both just hate the X-Men.
And decided... So you're not named after him?
No, I don't think so.
You're wearing a helmet very much like his.
Well, there's only so many helmets.
That one has a fairly distinctive shape.
I just thought it was cool.
Okay, so you do admire Magneto as a style icon.
No. I thought, the coolest helmet idea... that I could come up with. And this one happened to be it. Magneto had done it as well.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it's like how everything evolves into crabs.
Deep Impact Armageddon. The Illusionist, the Prestige.
Nobody talks about the Illusionist, man.
Yes, Magneto is the Illusionist in this scenario.
Absolutely.
Magneto is the Prestige.
Oh, I mean, Sean Astin was just elected president. Can you get Sean in here?
He's the one who has power over me.
Oh, shit.
But I can get you Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale from The Prestige.
I'll take Bale. No, I don't want either of those people in my home, actually, now that I think about it for a minute.
They've fallen down on the ground. They're probably walking back home at this point.
Yeah, that sounds good. Magneto, I had a real moment where I was like, who would I less rather spend time with? And it was a real fraught moment. Like,
For Magneto, it's definitely Christian Bale, but I understand the argument for both.
It just feels like at some point, Jackman is going to sing no matter what I do.
He might sing at you. It's no good. But he's so cut.
And there's a terrible chance that Ryan Reynolds might just be attached like a fucking remora eel to his back.
I can get Ryan Reynolds, but I choose not to.
Please do not bring Ryan Reynolds.
One of the things about my powers of magnetism is that I can find actors between movies. Have you ever wanted to see Hugh Jackman with a big sloppy gut?
I'm sorry, I'm running through my private fetish files. No.
Okay. I was curious. I brought him here and then he walked home. It wasn't that impressive. He's still better shaped than I am.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You're Magneto from a couple angles from where I'm standing.
Yeah. That's pretty good, puny human. You sure you don't want to get a SAG card?
For a second, when you chose as the first person you summoned a pantsless Jason Alexander, I really thought it was just actors whose bodies were sagging.
It's easier. They resist less.
Sure. You know? Oh, they can fight you off, fight off your powers?
They hold on to their door frames and such. You know,
it's not a teleportation thing, huh? You're dragging them?
Oh, no. I just make them go quickly through the air, and then they have to walk back from Portland, Oregon.
Jason Alexander is not alive?
I assume he's still okay.
Look at him. He's fucking... He's still being held up by your powers, but he is... His neck has lolled to the side.
His eyes are open, but they're not blinking.
Yeah, his eyes are open, but they're not seeing. Yeah.
Do I have even more power than I thought?
I mean...
To kill anyone in the Screen Actors Guild.
I mean, yes, absolutely. If you can control... You could rip all of them in half if you wanted.
It's true. So my human, you have more access than I do. I need you to get the Uncanny X-Men to join the Screen Actors Guild.
What do you mean I have more access than you do?
Huh, they'll trust you. They don't trust somebody with this helmet.
Well, take the fucking helmet off, dude.
I can't, because then I'll be vulnerable to the powers of Aftra.
Not going to top that, man. That scene. That was a good joke. Did you have that ready?
Thanks. No. The Aftra part I just threw in there. I don't know what Aftra stands for in real life. I was kind of assuming you might, and it would make the joke work.
It's another acting union that merged with SAG.
It kind of sounds a little bit like a villain.
It did. No, it was good. Yeah. Gary, that was a good bit.
Thank you.
I think that might be your first bit you've ever done on the show that I genuinely liked.
That's mean.
I know.
Yeah, that's really mean. It hurts my heart.
Oh man, I'm just saying, like, I liked it so much I couldn't bring myself to like attack it as much as I normally would.
Well, you didn't sabotage it so it was impossible to like.
Sure, yeah, that's exactly. That's what I'm saying, is that it was good.
Yeah, it distracted you. It kept you entertained long enough to not think about yourself for a moment.
Oh,
incredible!
That's
stuff.
Why I felt good. That's why I felt good. I thought the welcome. Coffee was just hitting.
No. It was just you got out of your own head there for a second.
Ugh. Put me back in.
Yeah. All right. Man camp. The camp for men.
I don't think we have time to explore the concept, really, Gary.
I didn't mean to take up all the air in the room. We did kind of get
Gary,
some man
no,
camp
Gary,
energy
I liked
with that
it.
Ad. The, we did take up, we did do some man camp energy with our ad, I feel.
That's
like.
True. That is true. Yeah. So we were just talking in the green room. We were talking about how, I think both probably inspired by that episode of King of the Hill, about running like a man camp to like teach men how to be men and how to like...
To be more like us.
Yeah, to like assert your dominance in life over your podcasting partner through a series of, honestly at this point, instinctual negs.
Yeah. It would be... you don't even have
I
to think about
it. I do neg
them.
You a lot.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It does work.
It you know what the fun thing about it is that it always works, but sometimes it works immediately and sometimes it works like a day later. Sometimes it works a year later.
Yeah.
Like, what was I thinking about the other day? There was something he said that was like mean that I was thinking about the other day. let me think, because it was good.
Okay. I don't say things for them to be remembered or felt.
I had a real like, oh man. It was something about me being stupid.
It
was definitely something that was attacking my intelligence. I'm trying to remember. I don't know. If it comes to me, I'll text you.
I do think you're smarter than me.
I don't know if I think that's true.
That I think it?
Yeah. I don't really believe in intelligence. I'm not going to rank people in terms of intelligence.
Well, but maybe we'll have to just to like, you know, because the resources are running out.
I think there are dum-dums. Like there are people who are definitely the bottom tier. And then everyone who gets up to a certain level is basically fine. I don't care about it.
Sure,
like a terminal velocity of intelligence.
But like, who would you rather have in charge in a crisis? You or me?
What kind of crisis?
Infinite Earths. See, Gary, that's not the kind of intelligence that we need in the crisis. We don't need quickly thinking of a comic book reference that kind of works as a joke, but only because it was said so quickly.
Yeah.
That's not going to save any lives, friend.
It's a kind of intelligence I have as well, though, sadly. They're just different jokes.
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as resourceful, you know, in a problem.
We all do, yeah.
Yeah, I know we all do. So yeah, it's tricky. It depends on the kind of crisis. There are crises in which I would want you to have the wheel, I think.
Which ones?
Anything that required a cruel option or like something, you know, a really tough choice that involved, you know, maybe somebody living and somebody else dying. Like any Sophie's choices?
Yeah, the cold equations, sure.
Yeah, like that kind of thing. I feel like you might be better at it than I am.
I do not like people, so.
Well, and the, you know, I think that you're, and then also you have game brain, where like you can kind of think of it as a game, you know, which might be necessary. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. It took a long time for me to realize that having a good memory is not the same as being intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that for sure. Yeah, I completely get that. Like, it feels the same, but I think it's different.
If the crisis was adding 3-digit numbers together, I would probably be the one who didn't get killed by the math aliens.
Yeah, it's really going to depend on what kind of aliens come to kill us.
240 plus 623.
That's going to be 863.
Yeah.
I hope the aliens come down and it's about 90s X-Men crossover events.
Sure. God, I can't name any. Whatever the Bastion was. Like,
sure, Operation Zero Saints. Tolerance.
There we go. Yeah.
I would love it if you know, come down and talk to me about the Executioner's Song or like the Extinction Agenda.
You know? Anything to do with Strife, man.
I can do Strife, Fatal Attractions. Yeah. I kind of know who Quanon is. You know?
Yeah, you're the one.
Yeah, nobody else does, but I kind of know who Quanon is. Give me that. If they're just going to test for taste, I prefer the Psylocke non-ninja costume.
Interesting. You know? What is she wearing? Yeah. Culottes?
It's pretty hard to describe what she's wearing. It's a weird kind of armor. It's very Kate Bush-coated to me.
That's a compliment, right? You're attracted to Kate Bush.
Oh, big time.
She was working at your Trader Joe's. Oh, baby.
Good Lord. I would never shop anywhere else. I'd ring that bell. Tell you that much.
But yeah, so, yeah, and these are all the kind of things you could learn at our camp for, I honestly, like, obviously we're calling it Man Camp. Anyone can come.
Yeah, that's true.
The things we are doing or saying are only very loosely mapping onto masculinity, even in a traditional or non-traditional sense. But we will teach you to be more assertive and less considerate of others.
Yeah, more like us.
More like me, honestly. You're fairly considerate.
More like Will. Kind of regardless of what your gender is or goals are, you will end up being more like Will. Wait, that's a real natural hiccup there.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful. You got a cute little hiccup there, bud.
Thanks. I'm drinking a V8 Diet Energy strawberry lemonade, and it gave me a little hiccup.
All right. For a second, you understand that I thought you were drinking V8 juice, right?
Yeah. It's from the V8 brand, but it's a V8 Plus. So it's just
It tastes like strawberries and lemons, right? Not tomato.
And fake sugar. Yeah, it does not taste like Clamato or whatever. Yeah. Drinking a V8 is a weird thing to drink on a podcast.
That's what we'll do next show, is we'll just hang out and just each sip a big cup of V8.
What would be different if we're just drinking a V8?
I mean, I think it would probably be the same, but with more,
What should people do if they like this show?
A lot of smoke. I just took a sip.
Yeah. We have to remind each other to take sips because it'd be very tempting just to not drink it.
Yeah. This is salty.
Yeah. I'll get a V8. I'll commit to this.
I won't, but I'm happy for you.
Okay. What can people do?
Then go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. That supports the entire Duck Feed Network, of which we are a part. And thanks to Ronald Reagan's beautiful trickle-down economics, some of it will go to me.
Yep, that includes both Kay and Gwen and a bunch of people on the level. And the crew. And the rest.
And the crew. Yes, the crew.
Yeah. You can also leave us a rating review and a review on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, anywhere you can leave them. And if it's 5 stars and we like it enough and it's not weirdly too personal or anything, we might read it.
Yeah, like this one left on Apple Podcast by 1.5 Giraffes, titled The Second Coming. Turning and turning in the widening gyre. The Falcon cannot hear the Falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed. Everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. Best lack all conviction. While the worst are full of, what is this word? Passionate intensity. Surely some revelation is, this is long, is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. The second coming, hardly are those words out when a vast image out of Spiritus Mundi troubles my sight. Somewhere in Sansa Desert. Was there just a scene change in the fucking review? A shape with lion body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as the sun. And then slow thighs, all about real shadows. And this is, we're almost done. The darkness drops again, but now I know that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare, vexed by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be.
Not going to lie to you, that was pretty cool, and I understand why you want to do it at Duckstream.
That was a... What do you mean?
Nothing.
I don't read the reviews. I don't listen to the... Was the review good?
You know, it was a little bland.
Sure. I'm sorry.
The, you know...
Do you wish I had taken on a more performative tone while reading it? Perhaps?
No, I'm saying that to the reviewer. It was a little blandly written.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, could be better. Could be better poetry.
Also, weirdly religious at the end.
Yeah. In a way that doesn't really, you know, does not resonate with me.
I would actually, if someone could put a sincere message about their walk with Christ in a review, I would really love that.
It would make me feel a little uncomfortable. I think I would like it as well, but it'd make me feel pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah. You're saying the same words over and over again.
It's the same picture. How many stars did we get?
Oh, that was a five-star review. I wouldn't have fucking read it if it wasn't five, man.
Good. I just want to make sure. I need to get the catharsis at the end.
Oh, you Gary, know? This is maybe your best-rated podcast, can I say?
I think that's actually kind of true. But it's just because of, like, largely because of transphobes and shit.
Yeah, I know, man. But still.
You know?
Yeah. 5 out of 5, 216 reviews on Podcast Addict. 4.9 out of 5, 232 reviews on Apple Podcast.
It's fucking nuts to the, like, 4.5 we're rocking on WAF because people are mad for either dumb game reasons or dumb transphobia reasons.
Yeah, this is your best rated show.
Man, I'm going to have to sleep with that.
There we go. I knew I could leave you with one.
Yeah, there we go. I got to think about that and unpack that over the course of the next week. I'll be back in a week, folks, with where that lands, with a V8 in my hand and my hand in my crotch.
Nailed the lizard. Ran out of steam right there at the end, bud. The lizard got sick.
I am the lizard peasant.